Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Before we get started, I want to remind everyone, please, if you have your cell phone with you, would you please place it on airplane mode so that it doesn't interfere with our Zoom meetings? If you have your cell phone with you, please place it in the airplane mode so that it does not affect our Zoom. Thank you.
I don't give a shit. They need that Ethernet connection. Yeah, it's in this. Oh, no, if there's an emergency, I want to know. They banned phones from my last job, and I was in this employee.
I'd like to call the meeting of the Port Malabar Holiday Park, Mobile Home Park Recreation District to order. Today is July 25th, and it is currently 7 p.m. May you bow your heads, please, in prayer. Almighty God, as we come together this evening, we ask that you grant us the wisdom to make the decisions that are best for the benefit of the park and its residents. Give us the strength to make decisions, though they may be difficult. And Father, we ask that you watch over those that are in the military away from our homes today. Keep them safe, protect them. And those that are not with us, may they always be within your blessed arms. For this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Would you please rise and join me in the pledge?
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Baltimore River entered history when Russia lost an 1854 battle there during this war.
Madam Secretary, could you do roll call, please?
No. Bulgaria is one of many countries on this peninsula that won freedom by breaking the cruel...
Carol Summers, chairperson.
Present.
Joan Acanero. Secretary, present. Mark Boda, Treasurer.
Present.
Kathy Stone, Assistant Secretary.
Absent.
Gary Vincent, Second Vice Chair.
Present.
David Curtis, First Vice Chair.
Present.
Rebecca Ernest, Assistant Treasurer.
Absent.
We do have a quorum.
And we are joined this evening by our new district property manager, Miguel Garcia, Jr.
Present.
Under chairman announcements, there are still two seats open on the board, and we are in need of your support. If you are interested in serving your community, please submit your letter of intent. Your community and this board desperately needs you. The next topic is an area of concern, and if I offend anyone with these comments, I beg your forgiveness before I do so. There have been a few incidents in the pool area lately, and so I want to share some reminders of our pool rules. First off, no foreign objects, such as toys, bins, flippers, rafts, or floats. Only noodles are permitted. Secondly, no food allowed inside the area of the pool. No glass of any kind and no alcoholic beverages are allowed within the pool area. A parent or responsible adult must accompany anyone 16 years of age or younger. Anyone underage will be asked to leave. And lastly, no smoking or vaping allowed in the pool area. If you're going to smoke, you need to step outside the gates. The reason for these concerns is that we've had a lot of incidents. We've had someone smoking in the pool area. When they were asked to stop smoking, they became belligerent with the employee and proceeded to cuss the employee out. We've had incidents where people are bringing their grandchildren and they're bringing toys into the pool and floaties, and it's causing issues with the pool, and the toys can clog up things. And when they've been asked to remove them, they become belligerent and cuss out the employees. I'm not trying to be hateful or mean when I say this, but ladies and gentlemen, that kind of behavior cannot continue to be allowed and should not be tolerated. Our employees are here for your benefit. And disrespecting them by cursing them out over something as simple as saying smoking isn't permitted when it's posted out there is unacceptable. There are a couple of areas of concern that I did not place in this. And the first one is we've had an incident where there were some young ladies in our swimming pool. They were inappropriately dressed. Yes, they had on bathing suits, but the bathing suits were so scantily that their whole bums hung out, and we had several complaints. I did, out of respect for the people that were complaining and for the ladies, kind of let them know that it was not appropriate the way that they were dressed. I don't think thongs in the 55 community are appropriate. And I did ask them to please remove themselves from the pool and cover themselves up. And I think they've been back, but I don't know. I haven't been told that there was anybody out there poorly dressed. And the other issue that we've been having are people coming to the pool as a guest of the park, and they're just coming in and just, they're not visiting a sponsor. There's no resident with them. And the concerns that I'm having is that if that guest is here and you as the resident are not with them, but you're the one calling them in and they're injured, who's responsible? That it becomes your responsibility because we don't have lifeguards. So we might want to address the fact that we need to make certain that when a guest is here, even though they may be over 18, that you might consider being with them for their protection and for yours as well. So again, if I offended you by saying that, I really think we need to consider this concerns. Having no lifeguard, if someone gets hurt, it's a big liability. And I think that each of us as a resident should consider the consequences. Moving on. I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the minutes for the meeting of July 11th.
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes for the meeting for July 11th as written.
It's been moved. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as presented for July 11th. Is there any discussion? All right, hearing no discussion, I am going to call for the question. All those in favor, please signify by raising your right hand. Five yes, zero no. The motion has carried. Mr. Boda, are you ready to do your treasurer's report, please, sir?
Yes. Thank you to Diane Bell for helping us get this working properly. So the treasurer's report is up on the board. You can see the total income was $47,951. Total expenses was $159,583. So our net ordinary income shows a deficit of $111,632. Year-to-date income was $1,335,190. Anticipated income is now zero. We are over what we had budgeted for as far as our income in the park. So even though we will update the total income, we can't anticipate that amount of monies that may be coming into the park that would go into the total income value. That income shows as 101.8%. of what we budgeted for the year. Our total expenses is $1,086,525. Our anticipated expenses for the rest of the year is $244,283. That's 81.6%, which is approximately where we should be. So if you look at the bottom, you can see that our balance of liquid assets shows that we're at $1,413,478. Because we don't know what our anticipated income is going to be, I mean, that'll get added later, but we do know that our anticipated expenses is $244,283, which will leave us with a net balance of $1,169,195. Now you can see the reserve funds down in the lower left corner. I have not put in on this sheet the reserve funds that we established at the last meeting. So those reserve funds totaled $600,000. So that leaves us in our, what we have here called, what's labeled reserve funds, but our balance in the park, that would make that actually $569,195. That's the monies we would use should we experience a natural disaster, a hurricane that destroys the property in the park. That's where we would draw funds from first. Are there any questions on the report? All right, this next so this is our spreadsheet for the park. I started looking at tax certificates. Give me a second. And I found that on our spreadsheet that we weren't taking account. We were considering the tax disbursements and the monies that we were paying out for buying the tax certificates were all being placed in the same part on our spreadsheet. So last year, the board had approved $10,000. Residents came to the board. They requested $20,000. The board approved that. We ended up making back about 80% on those tax certificates. And they're now reflected on the spreadsheet. So what we got back was $14,943. What we spent on those was approximately a little over $15,000. This year, they asked again for to have budgeted $20,000, and we bought tax certificates. They were, again, just over $15,000. As the tax certificate disbursements come in, they'll be reflected in here, and it'll show, it'll be better reflected in our income for the park. In the different... All right, I don't know how to move this from left to right. So where you see excessive spending, you'll see it on board supplies. That came in because of bonds that we have to pay for new board members. When new board members come on, they have to be bonded. And the police that we had attending meetings the end of last year, early into this year. Temporary office services was a lot of custodial. That's where we hire out and get manpower to come in and help out. So that was a very large number because we pay virtually two times as much as what we would pay the regular employee when we hire somebody through manpower. Or I forget the other temporary people we're using. Postage was 277%. That was because of the deed and then the budget mail out. Office expenses and supplies was 283%. The majority of that is because we decided to go ahead and publish the About Us books. That was $7,700. And the About Us books are in now. I think they're ready, and I think they HPPOA. Are they taking care of that in the, I think on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they're in the room where you would get tickets for events in the park. And the ladies are in there if you want to get an About Us book. No? So if they want something, if they wanted something now, they would just go to the office, to the main office. Okay. Nope, that's okay. Water was 107. We're at 107%. Just not enough budgeted, apparently, with new trees and watering and that type of thing. It wasn't thought of ahead of time. R&M buildings is 244%. Some of that came from the seamless gutters that we had installed. And a lot of these things are things that we are taking care of now that wasn't being taken care of before. We're kind of at a point right now where we're being reactive instead of proactive. So we're trying to get things taken care of, and hopefully through this process, when I come up with next year's budget, it'll be much better even than the budget for this year. But this is the budget for that ends in the end of September. R&M pools was 123%. Part of that was a removal of a bridge. I'm not sure how that got in R&M pools, but vehicle repair is 313%. We had to put new tires on our truck. And fuel is 228%. And I think that's kind of self-explanatory. So as far as the budget, we just did the air conditioning in the two back rooms, the card room and the pool room, and we paid out $27,000 for that. Part of that is covered under our R&M costs. Part of it is not, so the next report, that's going to be high. We also have the front where we're doing the drainage that they're coming in, I believe, August 8th. Carol has more word on that, but we did make an initial payment to the contractor that's going to be doing that work. And is there any other questions?
I'd like to entertain a motion that we accept the treasurer's report as presented.
I'll make a motion that we accept the treasurer's report as written.
Is there a second?
I second the motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the treasurer's report as presented and file for audit. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor, please signify by raising your right hand. 5 yes, 0 no. Motion carried. Mark, thank you very much. Your presentation was very neat and precise, and I truly appreciate your hard work. Now, for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce you to our district manager so that he can give his first district manager's report.
Good evening, everyone. And all the fellow folks out there in the wireless world out there watching. No questions for the treasurer. He got off easy. All right. I might change that a little bit. Just a quick note in regards to my reports and how I will read them out for the most part in these meetings. I don't add a lot of fluff in my reports. I'm not into adding any notes about changing light bulbs in the hallway or changing a toilet rack or something. I find that for the most part, that's a bit disingenuous in consideration that a lot of these routines are things that I'm supposed to do. So with that being said, I'll hit right into it. I kind of want to piggyback, if you will, to some of the opening statements by Carol in regards to the pool. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there's just some things I do want to share from my part. And obviously there's some concerns about the behaviors of some folks that have happened recently. Now, I've only been here for a couple of weeks, but I can tell you that within 2 weeks, the things that I've heard, in particular with staff, is more than I've seen or experienced in 10 years in my previous job. when it comes to some of the concerns or questions that folks may have, it's understandable. You want to be able to utilize that amenity without any of the distractions of folks maybe you don't recognize or guests that come about that are unfamiliar with some of the rules. And you want to be able to enjoy that amenity, no question. Everybody should have that right. However, how we conduct ourselves in terms of rectifying some of those transgressions should not equate itself to feeling that you have the right to create a scene. Remember that there's other folks there with you. And not only that, but sometimes there might be some guests or some owners who have their children there. You're going to scream and yell in front of a three-year-old or a four-year-old? How do you think they feel about it? It's just not something that should be allowed anymore. It's really unbecoming. That said, I've had one staff member who now in less than 2 weeks' time has been verbally accosted or assaulted, if you will, had his job threatened, almost chased in the office. Come on. We can do better than that. With that being said, I want to make something very clear to all the folks out here and to everybody out there in the universe and everybody around the area. Please, if you find that there's transgressions going on at the pool area, yes, you can look for a staff member. Yes, no question. But if it goes a little bit far and beyond where you're feeling the temperature rising within you, come and see me. I'll be the meat shield. You can come and speak to me. I'll tell you this, I've already had some residents who've come to me with some grievances and some concerns. They didn't shout, they didn't scream. We had great collaboration. I added some of their suggestions or concerns to my report. So you see, when things happen, you can definitely come to me and we can talk about it. I'm not going to close the door on you. I'm not going to take your complaint form and toss it into the garbage or in a drawer somewhere. Maybe that's how they used to do it here, but not me. So I really take this serious in particular. And I'll be honest, maybe I'm slightly biased to staff members. I used to be a shop steward. So I do take care of my staff, but make no mistake, the door swings both ways, as I've alerted my staff to. They are to also honor their obligations and the expectations that they're supposed to be able to honor. That goes for custodial, the grounds, and the gate. So with that said, one of the implements I thought about doing, maybe I did this in my previous experience when the only really big time we ever had in my previous experience was a fist fight on a garden roof over somebody taking one too many slices from the pizza pie that we bought. This was a spring party for all the residents, if you can imagine that. So we actually implemented a key fob system just so we know who was coming in and out. And I'd like to kind of introduce this system here in our amenity section that covers the pool and bocce courts and whatnot. And the idea is just that it provides an effective on-point audit of who's coming in and out of the amenity. So when there's concerns, or I know some folks have come to me, we don't know who these people are. Are they owners? Are they renters? Well, if they use a key fob, the key fob is no different than a quarter size, small piece of plastic you can hang up on you can hang it on your keychain. You just swipe it along the scanner by the gate, gives you full access. When you do that, it sends data, surface data, nothing personal, no credit card information, just your name, your address that you're in the park, and it'll be sent to a server or even on the iCloud. No, it's secure, I promise. And it at least gives us a record of who came in and out of the amenity. So if something does escalate, we know who was around. And maybe we can pinpoint where the escalation began utilizing our cameras. Now, look, I'm not trying to be big brother here. I'm just trying to mitigate some of the issues that we've already seen, at least that I've seen in less than 2 weeks. And it really protects everybody here. Maybe gives you a little peace of mind, right? How much is that worth? So, with that being said, as far as the fob is concerned, I've had an opportunity to talk to about three vendors. I'm actually going to talk to maybe five at most. This is not going to be something I'm going to jump right into, I promise you. This is going to be something methodical. I want to ensure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. I want to ensure that we have the best available system at the right price. And this might take another 4 or so weeks. There's some other prerequisites that we have to address. If we implement a FOB system, we'll have to obviously put a system at the gate, as well as the door from the rec hall, leading from the pool into the rec hall. And then there's a back gate, but that back gate, to be honest with you, this is another story we have to repair. We have to do some work on that. But this is something that we are really looking into, and it'll certainly hold everybody accountable. Now, with that said, that'll lead into our cameras. We do have a 16-channel camera that's operating for the most part. I mean, it works. When I look at the camera and I zoom in, I all of you are in little boxes. You're just pixelated. No, the cameras for the most part are not high functioning. They're not HD or anything of the sort. So I have looked into potentially replacing our DVR system. Maybe not all the cameras, but maybe some of the more critical point cameras to improve the frame rates, if you will, and more of its digital capacity, so that I can zoom in, or at least we get it something of a decent picture of a human being. This can also be utilized at the gate. And one of the issues that I'll move right into the gate situation. All right, I need a drink first, if you don't mind. Okay, the gate. There's a couple of issues that we have in the gate that I've determined. This goes outside of the aesthetics that we know, whether it's uniform and performance. I want to talk about the safety still. The cameras that we have that are existing there right now are really not high performance. It's the same application as what you have here in the amenity. It's hard to see. There was a camera system that apparently was implemented, but the ability for the camera, because it's an analog, can't pick up the speed of the vehicles coming in and out. So you have an inconsistent moment where, let's say, hypothetically speaking, we're trying to get a license plate. You won't. You really won't, especially, and ladies and gentlemen, on a side note, listen, maybe you're looking to like blaze out of the park, but when that arm goes up, this is not the Tallahassee, all right? I've seen a couple of cars because I've sat in the gate and they just blaze out of there, which is something that we all have to do a little better at, please. But in respect to the cameras, one of the things that we're looking at is to install two or three cameras, a new NVR system, which is a network video recorder, which provides better service in terms of its digital data analyzing and how it's transmitted to the NVR console. That will have the ability to be able to, when cars leave or enter, I can at least take a frame shot on the recorder and I can zoom in and see what the license plate is, see who came in and out. Again, I'm not trying to play big brother. This is just for peace of mind. You know, it's for our security here. I don't know much about the neighborhood. Maybe you can fill me in, but
you don't want to know.
Okay, so there you go. There you go. The idea is to secure this park and make it exceptional. I want it to stand out. I want everybody in this park to feel comfortable and peace of mind. There's a lot of work to do. I know it's easier said than done, but I've done it before. So we're looking into replacing those cameras. Another concern that's come up, and I want to give thanks to a resident. You know who you are. He raised some concerns about a safety issue potential in regards to when our employees they're leaving the gatehouse to go to the far lane to talk to incoming traffic. The problem is that the median is very thin. When the guys go out there to talk to incoming traffic, they don't see the traffic behind them. And as I said before, there's some people looking like to just blaze out of there. My concern is that I'd hate to find a situation where maybe the employees get clipped. If it's a bad storm, if it's nighttime. So one of the things that I'm looking into right now, and we'll have to talk a little further on this, maybe we can add a two-way speaker intercom system along the median there. Maybe when people come in, they can at least alert who they are and go without forcing the employee to go out there. Or maybe we can add a decal fob system. Okay, I'll try to make this as layman as possible, but essentially just like a key fob coming in and out. You can actually get a decal system, put it on a car, has a little RFID thread in it. So when cars are coming in and out, there's a scanner that zooms it or executes on it, and we can see people who's coming in and out. Maybe that'll work, maybe not. Or what we can do with a third option is add some kind of a concrete platform or barrier there. Did we?
And we took it out.
It didn't work out, huh? Did somebody drag it with them when they were racing out? All right, so it's an idea that we can look at. I'm really looking into getting something there that works just for the safety of our guys. And to add to that, yes, I have spoken. I'll be working closely with Derek at the front gate. We're going to be having once a week meetings. We'll go over some staff and some obligations, making sure that all the details are being executed, if you will. I'm looking into getting some proper uniforms. I understand that they do have some existing uniforms, I believe. We're looking into that.
I believe Cherie told them before she left that they were supposed to be wearing khaki slacks, and we ordered some blue shirts. I did see people wearing blue shirts, but they were ill-fitted, and they were gaping open with T-shirts underneath them.
Okay.
Some wore khaki shorts, some wore khaki slacks. But I don't know beyond that what she did. But I think that's what they were wearing for a while. So, yes, they did have something, but I don't know if it's official.
I think I'm into the having khakis, and maybe we can color scheme it towards separating the gatehouse versus the grounds versus custodial. It's just an idea that to at least recognize our staff and what they're supposed to be doing. So we'll be working on that. We'll be providing a little upgrade in the gatehouse to try to make it a little bit more aesthetically pleasing and ensuring that everybody's doing the job the way that they're supposed to. So we move on. I don't know if there's any questions or not from anybody in regards to.
It's my understanding that the two cameras for coming in and going out store 5 minutes of data, whereas all our other cameras store 30 minutes.
Right.
And those two cameras would be the ones that pick up license plates, which they can't even do right now.
Right.
So I would increase the storage time from 5 minutes because that's useless.
Yeah, no question. And I will get into that. I want to try to streamline this as best as I can. I did talk to, I'll tell you about one vendor, ADT. ADT came down to give us a survey, a bit of an understanding about the technology that we would need at the gate and even over here at the pool area. We would have to change our DVR system into a system like a NVR, which is a network video recorder, which is a bit more preferable because it handles recording and data storage, not storage, but recording at the camera versus at the console. What that does, if it's done in the camera, I thought I heard somebody. But when it's at the camera, the data that's switched over is a bit more fixed and it's fine. So it comes in clearer than what we have now, which is mostly analog. So I did talk to ADT. They would have to change that. I'm going to provide a little ballpark figures. So just to give everybody an example, just a little something that a little homework real quick. ADT did provide me for the most part with a proposal, although there's some things that I have to speak to them a little further about. So for instance, let's say we're doing the clubhouse and pool, and let's say we're also doing the camera system. In total, it'll probably cost you about $4,469.
Under
5,000? Under 5,000. Wait, don't. I don't know if that's good or bad. Okay, but wait, no, there's more to it. You have to understand that if you implement, let's say, a fob system, I have to get 1,000 fobs. I have to consider 700 homes, one fob per household, and then about 300 or so extra. That comes out about $2.40 each. About 1,000 fobs is about $2,400. And that was part of the total package of $4,469. But...
No, wait. Sorry. You said that 4,000, that under 5,000 amount included the fobs?
That's including the fobs. But wait, I'm not done yet. There is a service charge, though, that does come, and that is for the utilizing iCloud service that comes with the system. So essentially, you can record a lot of the functions of the camera, and it could be saved on a cloud so that you can always revisit it. Just to give you an example, for instance, if they give me a 12 terabyte amount of space, that equates to about 3 months of video recordings. We can go backwards. Now, I never had 3 months. I always had a month. And we can always adjust cost based if we want to go ahead and just do a month. We can look at that. But there is a yearly service charge. It's actually monthly. It's about $51 a monthly for service using a Brivio server. But if you tally that all up, you know, you're talking about that's a 2069. So it's not a bad price at least for me, in terms of handling the pool. But again, I want to remind folks that this is still being researched. That's just one quote. Now, if you wanted to go ahead and do the clubhouse and you wanted to upgrade the CCTV that I was just discussing and you wanted to upgrade the gate, then you're only talking about $13,095. But we can get into specifics on that when I have a bit more quotes. I don't want to be unfair on that, but at least that gives you an idea about some of the security. Please go ahead.
I think you ought to be talking to Jason Gill. Have you talked to him?
I have not.
He's the one that's working on getting us the new internet and cable TV in here.
Okay.
And some of the companies that he was working with said that he's getting quotes from do just that. They do the camera system up there.
Okay.
They do programming in here. But you might want to touch base with him.
I will. I definitely will. That's better for me. I'll have six vendors if I can then. And that would provide me at least an extra survey. That'll help.
His sure. number's in the office somewhere, but I'll give it to you.
Okay, great. Great. Appreciate that. Gary?
Part of the system was the fobs for the rec center. You were calling it
right,
the amenities.
Right.
I'm sure there's visitors that come to visit, elderly people, and their parents or grandparents would not come with them to the pool because they're too elderly and whatnot.
Right.
But then their guests might want to come up here themselves, so I hope we could allow for that. I'm not talking children here, you know, adults. I mean,
right.
You know.
That's something that I think that, sincerely, if this is something that we all agree to focus on and execute it, I think that might be something that might have to be added to some language or some rules or something to that specific. But as of right now, I can state from my experience, the way we utilized it was only one fob per household. If you have four or five in one household, you're kind of defeating the purpose at that, because at that point, one fob gets lost. And to be fair, let's say somebody has a fob and they refuse to turn it in when they move out or something. Oh, I'll take that fob. I'll give it to my cousin Jimmy. He'll get a free pool time or whatever. That can't happen, because once I know you're gone, I just have to go into my program and terminate that fob. So obviously these are some considerations that I'm still looking forward, that I'm looking into. This is not going to happen overnight. I want to make sure that we're doing this right. But certainly it will help. Moving forward, I don't know if anybody had additional questions, but if not, I wanted to just move forward into the green space and common areas. So based upon my inspections, which I will be doing almost every day, doing a quarter of the park randomly, I have found, talking to our grounds guy, Dwayne, that we have fallen behind on a lot of our responsibilities in-house. Dennis, you and I had a discussion. That's part of it. A lot of our common areas have seen overgrowth. We have some busted trees out there that need to be cut down. We have some edging. We have some drainage issues that I've noticed that I'm concerned about, especially if we get a hurricane coming through. I mean, a mobile park will turn into like a boat sanitarium or something like that. I'd be a little worried. So these are things that we're looking at right now to try to address. Now, with that being said, I have moved forward to try to get some extra helping hands here in the park to try to catch us back up. We did get somebody in today part-time. His name is, I have it here, one second. Hector Collazo. He just started today with Dwayne. He'll be here part-time about 24 hours a week. We will get somebody else in at the same 24 hours. And then this way, we'll see how their performance is and getting us back back to speed and back to actually sustaining preventative maintenance. And it'll give me an opportunity to see the part-time employees and how they perform and whether we want to keep them or not in a more full-time basis. So with that being said, yes, there's some other little tidbits I can add. The CVS wall is in bad shape. It is ugly to look at. There's a lot of dirt and stain on it, some surface crack, but nothing that's so dangerous as the integrity of the wall coming down. That's something that we're going to tackle probably in the fall when we have more hands on deck and when the temperatures at least prevail so that when we apply certain painting or primer applications, they'll dry off correctly instead of the blazing heat. So that's something that we're definitely looking forward to in the fall. And hopefully that'll work out. Now, there have been some issues in the front pond dock overlook. Again, a resident pointed this concern out. There were some pickets that were missing from one portion of that dock, and that was a safety concern. We put some tape and cones in front of it. The guys, Jose and Dwayne, have been working on that, and I believe we'll probably finish that up tomorrow. But essentially, what it all comes down to is, for me, is safety and security paramount for me right now. That's kind of what I've been focused on. And hopefully by the next meeting, I'll have a bit more clearer answers of where we're going and where we are with some of those updates. And just a quick note, we do have a new office administrator that's in training right now under Lori. Her name is Shamaya Wells. If you haven't met her yet, and if you happen to pass by, introduce yourself. She's wonderful. And she's really taken a lot of the cues and doing very well under Lori. So that's a good thing. And lastly, really, thanks to Carol, Lori, and Kathy at the office who've really gone out of their way to help me transition into this position. And thank you very much. And to the folks that I have met, thank you so much. We've had really good conversations. If you see me in the park driving around, don't fear to hail at me. I'll stop and we can chat if there's any concerns in the sort. All right. If any questions, please.
Net Regus 409 Holiday. What I'd like to ask, with the issue with the gate, with the front, the last district manager, this was brought up many times with her. Nothing was done. You have people that are walking in and riding out with bikes and golf carts, cars. That's a source of concern has been for all of us, securing the front part of the gate.
Right.
And now that's what we want. That's one of the things. It's making sure, because especially at night, anybody can come in. If one of the gatekeepers steps away for a minute, they can come in. Kids and everybody, they're smart. They wait for an opportunity to get in
sure.
there. So that's what I want to find out, what your plans would be to secure that area.
Absolutely. I think that speaks to not just the cameras, but maybe to the key fob system, and really is also responsibility of the guys working at the gate. They need to be on top of their game. And this is something that I have spoken to Derek about, and the reason why I'll be keeping tabs with most of the guys, not just the gate, but the groundskeeping and custodial will have a PM sheet that they have to fill out. It's a preventative maintenance sheet for the most part. But essentially for the gate, it's a checklist of making sure that things are working as intended, the cameras, and that they're inspecting the cameras, and that maybe what we might do is we'll put an additional scanner. I know that there's I'll have to look into this, but there's I forget what they call it, but there's a two-point system where it's kind of like an infrared. So when it's crossed, a small little bell goes off. So if the gate guy has to step out for a moment, whether it's to use the restroom or something, he can hear that He'll know that somebody crossed and he can immediately look in the camera and see what's going on, which then would function the camera, because if we get a proper camera, we can see the license plates of who came in and out or the individual passing through the walkway. So that might help. Well, no, I think that that's one of the things that they have to get on top of. That's their job. If they have to stop, especially the workers coming in, they have to stop them. That's the bottom line. You have to stop them and ask who they are. And if it's a resident, please don't take offense. Don't be upset. You know, they have to do their job right. Now, short of that, I know I kind of asked this question a couple of times to the gay guy, Derek. Do we put in a gate at the walkway?
Yes.
We've been talking about that. And maybe that is a viable option to do, is to put a gate there. And this is something that I'll have to look into, because one of the things I just want to be, and I don't want to go into long into this, but the only concern I would have for that is making sure that there's fire safety. You always have to have it open leaving the park. But entering the park, it could be a fob. It could be a locking system. But that's something that we can definitely look into, and it has been talked about.
Stacy Vincent, 1111 Seminole Court. That was my biggest concern, was it is a public sidewalk. So without a gate, you really can't stop anybody from coming in. And
right.
I don't think our guards are supposed to be risking, you know, chasing people down and stuff like that.
No, right.
But I think that is just a rule, that where there is a public sidewalk without a gate, you can't stop the people from coming in and going out.
Correct. That's my concern. Yeah. I don't want to break any codes or rules in that.
Key fob sounds great for
but
that.
Key fob, yeah, we can definitely work on that.
I want to remind you that if you have public comment, unless it's concerning his report, please hold it so later on in the meeting under public comment.
Okay, very briefly. Tony Beatty, 127 Holiday Park.
Ms. Beatty, can you speak more into the microphone, please? I can just barely hear you, hon.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Part of the problem that we have at the front gate with people coming and going is the fact that our people who are working the gate are not doing their job. I have seen several instances. I'm not going to go into them because it'll be handled a different way. But things like just standing in the doorway, waving people through, saying something to someone who has no sticker on their car, but they never come out far enough to record the license number. They're just not doing their job. And I think that has to be addressed big time. And there's some of them that are a lot worse than others.
Absolutely. I don't disagree. I think this is part of the why I want to add some technical assistance to that. If they're going out there to try to write down license plates, that's not a good system. That's something that a camera should be able to do. But I do agree. There's some upkeep that definitely needs to happen. And this is something that, hence why I'm talking about it. So one of the things, lastly, I just want to say to the folks out there, don't be shy about coming to me if you have a question or concern. I will definitely read through it. Please come in to fill out those applications or those complaint forms. Listen, I can't do anything if you don't apply your efforts to make something happen. All right. And quite frankly, you can tell me word of mouth, but there's a good chance I have so many things that I have to do, I might forget. So help me out there. Help me to help you. All right. So.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate your report. Well done. And it's been a great first 2 weeks, and I look forward to continued relationship and working closely with you.
Very good.
Under old business, I wanted to report to you that the contract with Pinson Contract Services for the drainage up here at the Cheswick Gate area has been confirmed and signed for the proper amount of $34,673. It was signed and approved on July 12th by myself and Mr. Pinson. And it is my understanding that that contract will be starting on the 8th of August, so the work will commence. So if you start seeing that construction happen, please remember that it's going to be a little bit of an inconvenience, but work with us and be patient as it's taken care of. Mr. Curtis, do you by chance have any updates on your lawn care bid?
The only thing that I can tell you on the lawn care right now is I've met with Miguel, and we've gone over a number of things regarding this, and we're trying to come up with different ways that we can address this lawn problem, and I think we're on the right track. We just haven't nailed anything down yet based on his time. He's busy, and we've got until October to do this. Doesn't mean that we've quit thinking about it or working on it, but we are. And I understand that we've got some improvements coming from the lawn company that we have now based on some heavy pressure from our new managers and our chairperson. So if you just bear with us, we'll get this all sorted out, and hopefully we'll have the right person for you and get it done. That's all I got.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Gary. Up to now, I don't believe we're getting a proposal from Flawless. Is that the case?
I haven't asked Flawless for it. We've been had too many complaints and so forth.
No, if I may. Quite frankly, I've been a short time here. I can tell you I've been disappointed with what I've seen. It's really, I don't have a word for it, but it's, I'm not supposed to use some of the words for it, but it really is. It's the performance has been very, very short. Yes. I think I heard. Yes, I did. Yes. No, honestly, you're not the only one. I've come across a couple of other residents today who told me about, I've had to take some pictures recently of just some of their after effects when they come through. Right. No, completely understandable. And honestly, I'm actually trying to reach out and create an appointment with the owner. I am not happy with them. I think that David and I discussed that during our conversations. We have a plan, or at least a plan that we're working towards. I don't, it doesn't include Flawless though. So I have not been happy with them. Well, I ask all the residents and those who are online, bear with me a little bit. I'm trying to get in touch and meet with the owner to have him come down to the park so I can show him some of the atrocities, if you will. Obviously I spoke to the ground supervisor and they had a turnover recently, but you know what? That's not my problem. Just do what you're supposed to do per your contract. So bear with me. It's some things we're working on right now.
So normally they come around my area on Mondays. So every Monday I have metal signs that I put out. And I... On the day they mow.
Okay.
I don't believe they... do they start it? Do they...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Do they start at 7? I didn't think they were allowed to start until 8. Aren't our normal
all right,
work...
All right.
Aren't our normal work hours 8? Start
they
at
start
8?
Before 8.
Oh, so anyways, I put the signs out on Mondays. I take them back in maybe on Tuesday for the most part. But I still have to say, don't cut there. No, I know. Right. I even had the reflectors for a while. And so when I see them on Monday, the first person I see, I go up to and I say, see that sign? Don't mow that lawn. You can edge it. Do not mow. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, even with signs, sometimes it's still.
Let's stay on track, ladies and gentlemen, please. Okay. I apologize for the lawn care crew. As Miguel has stated, he's spoken to them, and I have spoken to them. And we both probably are getting the same story. This is my first day.
Just
I'm
bad.
Brand new. And we had a whole change crew over, or a crew change over, and it's the same story every week. So I don't know if they're blowing smoke up my skirt or if they just can't keep employees. But
Carol,
it is an ongoing issue, and bear with us as we continue to work forward to get it corrected as quickly as possible. And I know that it's frustrating, and people are angry that their siding is being damaged, and we're working profusely to get the issues resolved, but just be patient. It will come. Yes, ma'am.
Are we holding up our end of the bargain and paying them the same thing we've always paid them?
Well, you know, the problem is that they submit an invoice to us, and we pay off the invoice on a monthly basis. Our contract specifically stated that we would have, I believe, no less than 42 mows per year. I do know for a fact that on specific weeks, we've gotten half the park mowed and the other half was mowed the next week. And then this past week, I know that they mowed the bulk of the park, but on the back side of the park on Holiday Park Boulevard in the middle up to the back pond and around wasn't touched because the grass is this tall. You can tell where they do mow and where they don't mow. They're missing a lot of our common area. For some reason, they're not mowing it. I don't know if it's because they just want to zoom through so fast. So technically, we're not getting what they contracted. We have not gotten the number of mows that we should have gotten, but they're still billing us. So
can we talk to them about adjusting that?
I would like to.
What part of the plan is, that my discussion with the owner. I really want him to come to the park and to have some of these discussions if there's questions asked.
The contract itself is actually pretty slim. It doesn't have a lot of detail in it. And it was signed. Yeah. The only thing that they explicitly concerned in the contract was, and I know this is an upsetting issue, but the one big issue in the contract, because people complain about their siding being damaged, it specifically states in their contract that they will not be held liable to damage of your home and the siding if there is not a minimum of a 6-inch barrier from your lawn to your building. So if you don't have that, then you're at risk. So that is in the contract. So it's kind of hard to say when a house is damaged and when it isn't damaged and how much they will cover.
Have they told you that?
I do need to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to speak, please come to the microphone, because sitting back here, we can hear you, but the fine folks that are on the Zoom may not be able to. So please come to the microphone. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. For your information, we had our own grounds crew for 30 plus years. About 4 years ago, somebody decided, I know who it was, and they're no longer living in the park, that we want to do a contract service, which is fine. I was here when Flawless people were here in this hall explaining how they were going to work. They originally had a 4-day window to do the entire park. Friday was the alternate day. If there was rain or whatever, they would finish it Friday. During the summer, they would cut once a week. During the winter, they would do, I think, every other week. There was 42 whatever. We were also told that there would be a supervisor on site at least 5 or 6 hours of the day. So any homeowner could go to them and have something fixed or have a complaint made. I think that's kind of fallen beside the wayside. It's a very difficult job doing this lawn thing. We did it for years ourselves, and we had complaints way back then, and everybody thought our crew was lousy. Well, after they got rid of our crew, now they know how good they were. Yeah, am I right? Yes. The other thing is, and I got up and fought against this before it was ever changed by Cherie and
Jody.
Joe, right. I said, you people don't know what you're talking about because you don't know what the grounds crew does. They paint the buildings. During a hurricane, they put all the boards on the windows. Who's going to do that if we get a hurricane this summer? We're going to have to hire somebody. They used to trim all the palm trees around this whole office. Now we have to pay for that. They used to clean the trenches out here. Now we have to pay for that. The trenches were cleaned yearly. The culverts under the roads. The culverts under the roads were cleaned by our grounds crew. I was on the committee way back then and worked with the grounds crew, and I got probably a list of 30 different jobs they do, which we have to pay now a separate person to come in and do it. And I explained that at the meeting, but I was voted down. I'll give you a list that they do, some of the things they do. There's a lot of jobs that they did which nobody even thinks about. Dave, you and I have talked about this, so for what it's worth.
Are you also aware of the other side of what I've heard? And I've only been here a year, but I heard about activities by our lawn crew in the last hour of the shift, meeting back at the compound, making a habit out of it, party time, I will call it. You know, and if you participated, you got a raise. If you didn't, you got passed
that,
over. And
that was not done. That was not stuff done. Like that was not done prior to the manager of the head that was stealing money from us.
So yeah, that's when I heard
right.
It was
that's when you
okay. Got it. All right, we're not going to go there, ladies whatever. And gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessary to go there at this point in time. So I apologize for cutting you off, both of you, but this isn't the place for that conversation. Are there any other questions on the lawn care as it goes for Mr. Curtis? All right, hearing none, we're going to move forward. Mr. Boda, do you have an update on your health coverage issues or however we want to address it, not health insurance?
So we met with Miguel. I met with Miguel and Karen Foote, and we discussed this. And I have a letter from the insurance people. And it basically says Health First health plans will no longer offer group health insurance, including the small group plan currently offered to your employees. Your coverage under that plan will end on May 31st, 2022. So in doing the budget, as I said before, we had said that we would continue to pay what we were paying the employees up until the end of this fiscal year. I wrote an addendum to the personal policy manual under the health care. I put as of May 31st, 2022, Holiday Park is no longer able to offer group health insurance to employees. Health First Health Plans is no longer offering group health insurance, including the small group plan that had previously been offered to Holiday Park employees. Currently, the only two we have on the health plan is Lori and Derek. In discussions, because we can't offer it, I put that in there and I completely crossed out the words under health care, where it talks about a regular employee will receive health care because we can't offer it. It's not my decision. It's the board's decision, what they want to do. This is what I felt at the time is the direction we should go. When Miguel interviews somebody, if the question of healthcare comes up, he can show the policy manual. We currently do not offer healthcare coverage. Now this will include, we've also been paying for a guardian policy that does dental and eye care. I've talked to all the employees on those plans. I have told them that effective the new fiscal year, that Holiday Park would no longer be covering them for those insurances. And if they wanted to get the insurance coverage, they need to see their dentist or their eye care specialist prior to September 30th. Again, this is a board decision. This was what I kind of felt, because we cannot offer health care. At some point in the future, if we have enough employees, which they will not tell us the number for employees that they would cover in a group plan, that's a possibility in the future. However, at present, and Derek had no problem. When I talked to Derek, Derek said, no, I have no problem. You gave me a healthy raise. He says, I'm happy. You don't need to pay my health insurance. Lori's retiring as of, I think she's going to stay an extra week.
Another 2 weeks, I think.
So, and then Lori will be off. So then we wouldn't have anybody that we would be covering under the health insurance program anyway.
So do we need to make a motion then to remove this section from our employee health, our employee manual? Are you asking us to entertain a motion?
I'm not saying remove it. I'm just saying what I did is I just crossed it out. I don't want it taken out of there. I don't want it to be blank. You know what I mean?
I guess the proper way, I should suspend the wording temporarily. Because we do not have the employees and we cannot offer it, do we need to put it into a legal motion that we suspend the offer? Does that make sense? Am I saying that right? I just want to word it properly for the minute. We can no longer offer health care insurance, but we need to suspend it from our records so that no one comes in expecting to have it because it's written.
We probably should have looked it up and saw, because I remember when they put it in there, they put it in that we would cover 100%.
We didn't always cover it 100%.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. We should say that, you know, somebody should make a motion that we can no longer cover 100% of the insurance.
Well, if we can't offer it, it doesn't make a difference whether it's 5% or
100%. Please, well, if you have something, come to the mic.
I think you were right, temporarily.
Do you got any question?
Well, up until May 31st, when our Health First little group plan was no longer available, from January of 2019, January 1st, 2019, until May 31st of 2022, the park paid 100% of full-time employees health insurance. No one ever considered, until a solution was being sought, to look at the Affordable Care Act sign up tax subsidy. And that's how we solved temporarily the Lori Derrick situation. I think there's some room in between 100% and zero for full-time employees. We have a new district manager. We might have a new admin at some point, full-time direct. We might have a new custodial who's already full-time, but under his probation. Usually benefits don't start until 90 days. So maybe there's something we would want to do, even if we can't pay 100%. We don't have a group plan.
But we can't offer health care. We can't offer insurance.
We could offer help with their health insurance costs. Something. I mean, to go to 100% to zero is a big change.
Understand,
ladies, gentlemen.
Understand that Lori's leaving.
I understand that.
And Derek was fine because we basically covered him.
Right, because Derek was, with the help of Karen Foote and I think an insurance lady, looked into applying for the ACA, and his out-of-pocket per month is around $100.
No.
That's what was said in the last meeting.
Nope.
And the one before.
It's actually more like $290, because he had gotten the raise. Yes.
Oh, so that cut down his subsidy? tax credit, 290. Yes. And prior to May, I thought I heard Karen say it was around 600 a month, ballpark.
I'm going to say 500. Lori was,
I heard 12 or something like that.
Lori was over 1,000.
Right.
1,500 and something.
Headed for 15 is what we were told. But in her last couple of months here, I heard it was what, 500, 600?
450 something, 460.
Okay. Substantially less, though. I just wonder if we might, as a board, want to consider helping some. I'm not saying 100%, but going to absolutely no help is a big change. We might have trouble retaining or getting full-time employees if we just do not do anything to help. Because the ACA will help. It's just, would we want to help a little bit with the difference is what I'm wondering.
What about, if I may, I think maybe the issue might arise. You can help a couple now, but what about the new ones that come in?
Right.
I would just have concerns, as you might have some say, hey, that's not fair. Why are they receiving health insurance but not me? Is it? And that's where I feel like there might be a legality or something that might kind of come and bite us.
It's been a while, but I've worked at different places. One place just offered all full-time employees $150 a month, no matter what your age, situation, whatever. Now I'm going back quite a ways, but at the time we just took the 150, then we had to find it on our own. I'm just wondering if the board might want to consider something to help an employee with a full-time employee, current or future. And then if they can, sign up for ACA, unless they're in a situation with a spouse where they don't qualify, so they're going to make over $100,000 a year not to qualify, then good for them. They don't need the ACA, but maybe we could do a little something. I don't know what that number would be.
Well, I think that the window for that might open up a little bit in the future. No question about that. My own perspective and vision is for something that like that. But now is where I'd be concerned about in the language.
Well, we only have one right now. And
right.
At a certain point, it might be you and AJ and the lady who just started. Everybody works
right,
out.
Right.
We could end up with three more,
Well, being a company that is small, one of the biggest problems that we're having isn't that there aren't health insurance programs. It's that we're too small of an organization offer health insurance programs. So until such time as we either become large enough with our staff who require insurance, or we can create our own insurance coverage by having a doctor on staff or something stupid like that. I'm just using that as an example. The wording in our manual needs to be suspended. It should state that at this time, we no longer offer health care coverage until such time as we can either recoup it by having a larger staff or something. So I think that's what Mark was looking for, is how do we address it and how do we move forward? We can't just offer a full-time employee an extra $150, because that's not fair to this full-time employee that doesn't need insurance because they may be a veteran. So I really think that we need to, and in fact, it's inappropriate for me to address the motion because I'm the chairman, but if nobody else wants to, I will. I would like to make a motion that we suspend the healthcare offering, with the wording noted that until such time as we either have a sufficient staff where we can offer a program, or until such time as the company decides to make a change in the future, but it needs to be suspended.
Carol, I think the wording at this time should fit in there.
Yeah.
At this time.
maybe all we can do is what we did for Laurie and Derek, and then just provide them with a little assistance that Karen Foote was helpful with, and I believe someone else that was referred to as insurance lady, teaching them how they can apply for the ACA and end up with something that costs not as much, way less, you know. Just a little help, a little guide. One dollar amount, then. That'd be fine.
We have two questions. First, Wayne, if you would come up, and then Kapam.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenville Court. I was a Will County Sheriff Officer for 28 years, and I paid for my own insurance. And if I wanted my family to go on my insurance, I paid extra. I never got my insurance for free. And I was chasing criminals. Give me a break.
That's okay.
No one's suggesting we continue that.
Yes, ma'am.
Pam Heffman, 326 Holiday Park. Gary, I think what they're trying to do is change the wording in the personnel manual.
Right.
It has nothing to do with in the future. That could change. Maybe they can help them, but they just want to make a motion to change the wording.
Oh, we have to. We have to. We can. We have to.
Well, that's what the discussion was about. It's supposed to be about, right? That's what I thought.
So as it stands right now, I do have a motion on the floor to state in our employee handbook that at this time, we no longer can offer health care coverage to our employees, period. And it is subject to change in the future, but at this time, we can no longer offer it. All right.
I second the motion.
There has been a motion, and it has been seconded.
Who seconded it?
Mr. Boda. Is there any additional discussion? Please.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. This has been a problem that's plagued the park for 25 years. Way back, we did supply 100% insurance for our health and all of our employees, grounds crew and everybody. Then the cost got prohibitive over the years, and I think maybe back in 2010 or 9, right in there, they started making the employees pay part of the thing. And it got all the way up to 60% at one time, I believe. The motion you're doing is perfect. We got to suspend it right now. When we did the budgeting back then, one of the things the board passed it at the time, that most of the future employees be hired as part-time or over 65, so they were on Medicare. At that time, all of our custodians were over 65. We provided no insurance. All of our guards at the gate were over 65. When Bruce was chairman down there, every guard was over, they were working part-time, so we paid no insurance down at the guardhouse. So we paid no insurance there. We paid no insurance in this clubhouse. That's something we got to keep in mind for the future, because the cost of health insurance has gone prohibitive. And I thought a little while ago when we gave those employees those big raises, I thought that was part of it so that we weren't going to supply them with health insurance. Was I right or wrong?
You're right.
I thought I was right.
That was a consideration.
Yes. And that was what Derek agreed to, I believe, because he got, a $3 raise or something. I can't remember what it was an hour. So he agreed to not do health insurance.
All right. Is there any other discussion? The motion is to change our employee manual to state that at this time, we are currently no longer offering health care insurance to our employees. And it has been seconded. Hearing no other questions, I'm going to call for the question. All those in favor signify by raising your right hand. The vote is 5-0. Motion carried. All right, moving on. Under new business, I have one topic that I would like to address this evening. I know this is a topic of sore concepts for a lot of people. I'm going to bring it up because I think it's a good idea. Someone in the park recommended it, and I know you may have a lot of conversation on it. One of the problems that we have is doggy waste. Bear with me. I heard that. Oh, no. Bear with me. It's been better. I haven't heard as many complaints as what we were hearing on a regular basis. But we have had a couple of residents say that it's not so much our yards anymore, but the green spaces or the common areas where people will go and let their dogs soil the lawns and then not pick it up. So they asked about putting in pet waste stations. I did some research, and believe it or not, they're fairly inexpensive. It would consist of a pole that's metal, a steel pole sunk into the ground. It will have a sign on it that says pet waste station, and we can actually put fines on it from $75 to $500, and they can be implemented legally. Okay, I've already checked on that. And it would have a little box that has doggy bags in it for those that don't carry their doggy bags or may run out when they're out walking. And then it will have a little receptacle with a plastic bag inside for you to put your waste in when you're out walking, especially in the areas. The idea was that if we had this, not necessarily we want to provide it because people are too lazy to buy their own bags, but it may get those people that are using the green spaces as their potty areas the incentive to pick up after themselves. I've checked with pet waste systems, three different places. There's about six areas that would be common areas that I think would be good to place them in the park. And this receptacles, the pole, everything, all the hardwire, hook it up, everything, about $269 per unit. It is a little pricey, but I don't know if it's something that you might want to consider versus the constant complaining and the messes that we all seem to have to pick up when someone else doesn't do it. So I want to thank the resident that made the suggestion. They're here tonight. They know who they are. It was a good idea, and I wanted to present it to you for your thoughts.
Tony Beatty, 127 Holiday. Who's going to be responsible for emptying these waste stations? See, that's a very important part.
That would be a very important part to consider. And since there's plastic bags inside the receptacles, it would just be required to pick up a plastic bag once a week or twice a week and dispose of the plastic bag itself. There wouldn't be anything you'd have to touch other than the bag and the trash can. So it wouldn't be any different than picking up the trash and the trash cans around the outside of the exterior of the building. It could be done. There would only be six units. I wouldn't even mind doing it if it meant that we could keep our park cleaner. Maintenance could do it. It's something that would have to be addressed. It's not something that I'm saying is the perfect thought. But the thought is that we've got constant complaints about people not picking up. This may be a way to encourage them to pick up better. I don't know. Yes, sir.
Are these going to be scented bags?
Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very viable question because they do offer scented bags. The equipment comes with the bags that go in the trash receptacle plus the bags that go into the dispenser. I mean, it comes as a part of the unit to get started. Yes, it is an expense, and it's not. I'm not saying that this is something we have to do, but I think it was a great suggestion by a couple of our residents, and it was something I looked into. I just wanted to report on it. Yes, sir. Then Annette, you can go. Mr. Adams, you're first, then Annette, and then Bruce.
Wayne Adams, 1143 Greenville Court. When it comes to the doggy things, that's great, but I used to live in a complex that had them. They end up getting rid of all of them because people were stealing all the bags.
Net Regis, 409 Holiday. One of the problem is that I've noticed there's quite a few people, residents, that either golf carts or mobility chairs, and they have their dogs running alongside the golf cart. And I mean, unless you're chasing after them, you don't know if they're picking up after their dog. Plus, it's in especially this heat, they shouldn't be doing that, period. That's inhumane to be dragging a dog along. You're sitting in a golf cart and this poor dog is running alongside. But that should stop. Also, and you know, they got it and then they take off. By the time you get over there, they're already gone.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. Wayne, you're exactly right. They will steal the bags. Everybody, everything in this park, it is pretty amazing. They were all retired old people, and you would be surprised at the amount of stuff that's stolen in this park out of people's yards. Is that a fact? It's a fact. Ask anybody. Number two, if you want a dog, it's your responsibility to take care of it, absolutely, not the park's. We've gone through this several times. At least five times, we've had people propose that we put in doggy kennel areas or whatever you want to call them.
Oh, puppy,
please. Puppy, whatever. So, okay, you put in a fenced-in area down there to take Fufu down there. Well, let me tell you something. A lady a mile up the road up there is not going to get up in a housecoat and take Fufu a mile down there. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, folks. It's your responsibility if you got a dog to take care of it and pick up after it. I used to have a house over here at 123 Holiday Park, and my kitchen table was right by the windows, and people would go by walking their dogs. They would crap on the lawn. They never picked it up. It's maybe two or three dozen people that don't pick up after their dogs. Let's start finding out who they are and find them.
Carol?
Just in case any of you see me, I take my dog to these common areas, official ones and even in between. I physically cannot walk my dog as far as she wants to walk. And if I'm in the right area, she wants to run faster than my golf cart can go. So on occasion, and I got to be really careful I don't run her over, but I do violate the 6-foot leash thing, and I let my dog get about 20 feet out, and she opens up. I can't even begin to run as fast as her. I have never left a mess out there, me or my wife. I'm afraid if we take your suggestion, a lot of the, instead of me bringing it home and putting it in a coffee can, holding my breath 3 times a week while I empty that thing into, and it's already in a bag, it's ready to be tied, and in this heat, it's unreal. I wouldn't want to be a maintenance guy empty, and I think a lot of it will get left there that would have been brought home, like I bring all mine home and put it in a coffee can, me and the wife. We do. We don't leave nothing because we don't want to. It's just, it's not fair to everybody else if I leave it once out there. But I have seen it, and I do not pick up anybody else's mess. I refuse. I just don't. But I rarely see it. Rarely. So I think if we see it, we need to try to make a note of who the heck's doing this, and we need a way of putting a stop to the violators. Yeah, but then we got to get a database established, Cookie. And, okay. You know.
Well, I apologize. It was just... All right.
It is true.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Let's get back on track. It was strictly just a suggestion, and because it was given to me as a suggestion, I wanted to throw it out there because we do have a problem in our green spaces. And yeah, we were hoping to keep the green spaces cleaner. That was just a suggestion. It doesn't mean that you gotta walk your dog to that spot and make them clean up, because my dog poops wherever they're gonna poop in the road. And I clean it up off the road. But if you're in a green space, it was hopefully to keep the green spaces cleaner. Do you have a question, Miguel?
No, I have a question.
It was the green spaces. Like, and what I was saying was because of the green space, right outside here, outside the building, it wouldn't be in the building, but it would be on the street curb area. That if you were walking out there and your dog pooped and you didn't have a bag, you could pick it up and at least dispose it there. It's the green space back on behind your house on Holiday Park, the one that's on the other side of Holiday Park, the one that's on Sunflower, across from Sunflower, that area gets used really big, and there's a lots of piles in there all the time. The one over off of, is it Barry? That circle that's in by Barry. So it was those areas that seem to be used a lot because they're shaded, and it's cool when you're walking your animal. And I'm not saying that everybody does this, and I'm not saying it's something we have to do. But what we're hoping for is that if you were there and you were out there without a bag, for some reason you ran out of something, it would give you a way of cleaning it up and trying to be a little more respectful of that area. Not everybody doesn't pick up. Most people do. And I'm very thankful for those that do it. That sounded really good, doo-doo. But my bag, my puppy leash has a holder on it. But there's quite often you walk out the door and you're, holder's empty and you don't know it until it's time, and we were just hoping to prevent that. So it was just an idea, and I thank you for listening to the idea and for your ideas and your comments, but we're going to move on. Is there anything under HPPOA that we need to discuss this evening?
Hi, it's Pam again. I just wanted to let everybody know that there is a free dance this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock in all year. I have my playlist on the phone that I hook up to the speakers, and everybody just comes, bring a snack and a beverage, and come and enjoy yourselves.
Is that a free dance?
Free. There's no tickets. Doesn't cost anything. And there will be 50-50, though, so bring your wallet. Last week, we had karaoke, and we, you know, it's summertime, so there was between 35 and 40 people here. But we had a nice amount of money in the 50-50. How much, Diane?
57.
57 each? Yeah. So it wasn't bad for a, you know, summertime Saturday night.
Thank you very much. Under public comments, do we have any public comments that need to be done this evening?
I've got some new business.
Marianne Goblick, 238 Mystic Boulevard. Last year, there was some contention over political signs in the neighborhood. I noticed it started again this year. I'd appreciate it if we could remind the people of the rules regarding them so we don't get into the neighborhood battles that happened last year.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, the park rules do state that political signs can go out 30 days before the election. Repeat, 30 days. Before the election, and then must be removed within 3 days after the election. I believe that's how it's worded. So please keep in mind that that is the guidelines of the park. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to.
Only in planters, am I right?
Pardon me?
Where do the signs go? Only in planters, is that right?
Only in what?
In planters?
Oh, yeah, you can put your signs up. They have to be up. I think up close to the house.
Up close to the house. From my understanding, up close to the house and the planters, so it can't go actually in the yard.
Oh, and we also have a couple of issues I want to bring up too. It's not necessarily signs, but it is an issue of concern. For we have had some flags being flown in the park that are inappropriate. So if you're going to fly a flag, please fly the American flag. And or your military flag if you're a military person, but we need to think twice before we fly Union Jack flags or Confederate flags, as those do have a tendency to cause contention within the park. And we're asking that everyone respect those issues and refrain from flying them if possible. Yes, sir.
Disregard any complaints about my flying the Green Bay Packers flag.
He's going to fly the Chicago Bears. I can hear
you. Hey, the Bears.
Any other public comments for the evening? All right, hearing none, we're going to move on. Are there any trustee comments?
Yes.
Start it down at the end with Mr. Curtis, please.
I'm looking. I've got one person interested. I want to set up a realtors program for this park.
I'm sorry, a what?
Realtors program. What I'm seeing is, driving around and right on my own street, I'm seeing real estate companies coming in that I've never seen before. And I've been in the real estate business around this town for 40 years. Now, here's where I want to go with this thing. I would like to get together. I've got Bruce that said he would get on the committee with me, and probably Miguel, and maybe anyone else that's interested. But I would like to be able to get up and get a sign at the front gate that says all realtors will report to the office. We will make up a packet that will say whatever we deem to go into this two-page simple packet, that this is not a place where you're going to drop off people and expect us to take care of them. This is a 55 and over community. We've got to tell them what this is about and make it public to the prospective buyers. We've got so many new realtors, young people coming in trying to sell real estate that don't have an idea of what we're about. So that's one of my things that I would like to do. And if anybody's interested, you know, give me a shout type thing. And my other question was, on the new website, do we have any information on that or where we're at with it? I know we were working on switching.
Well, you heard back from him and we were going to set up.
Did you by chance, Miguel, talk to the website?
I have not.
All right. It fell through the crack. We'll make a phone call tomorrow. Because we did hear back from them. They sent us the paperwork. We've just got to get it implemented and get it going. So we'll make the phone call tomorrow and get that going.
Yeah, they did say they were ready. They've got it all set up. They're just waiting for us to get back to them so that we can have a training session. And the training session will be open to anybody that wants to come watch it.
Okay, my next question is on that subject. Who is going to be responsible and maintain besides them as far as adding information and so forth?
They're
going to
train us. So we'll make our own committee or our own group of people that want to, like Diane and I will do it for sure.
Okay.
And whoever else. So, I mean, it'll be probably a special meeting. And then anybody that wants to come to see it and anybody, I mean, it looked pretty simple when we did it. So if anybody has, you know, any computer skills or would like to learn computer skills, I mean, it might be a good chance to do it.
I see one guy sitting down at the end of the table in a black shirt that would be interested in that. Okay, thank you. That's all I've got.
I can't wait.
Oh, first Mark.
Mark.
Stacy, you need to get Gary a faster golf cart.
Oh, I just
realized
what you said.
I just wanted to mention to the board and the residents, months ago, in March 14th, we had Sandy FX Environmental here, and they did a demonstration of the ion-producing sanitizing system that could be put into the air conditioning systems here. And we were going to wait until the pool room, card room AC has been replaced, which it has. I've only been able to get two proposals, their proposal and one from Freedom Air. Freedom Air actually sells a better system than the one we saw demonstrated. I can keep trying to get a third proposal, but I'm not having any luck. I'm just telling you. And the price for both is in the $6,000 to $7,000 range. I don't know how the residents and the board would feel about it. As you learned in the demonstration on March 14th by Armando and his son, it's a unit that's put into the air conditioning duct, the main duct. And the newer, the REMI system that Freedom Air recommends
is an LED light, and it produces ions, submicroscopic ions that kill bacteria, mold, COVID, flu viruses, common cold, all of it. It doesn't just kill it in the air. The air touches, anything the air touches, it sanitizes. So there's no need to like wipe all the tables down or whatever. As you know, the clubhouse was closed for what, 18 months during the worst of COVID? A couple of days here and there while the staff tried to do a physical cleaning using chemicals. There would be no more need to use chemicals at all. The clubhouse would probably be the safest place other than an OR in a hospital. I mean, it's just, but whether or not the park wants to spend $6,000 or $7,000 and basically try to find another contractor to throw a price at us for a comparable system, you know, kind of let me know, because I haven't been able to move on it for a couple of 3 months now. I'm stuck.
Gary, is this a UV light?
No, it's not UV light technology. That is Fred Flintstone technology compared with ion-producing sanitizing systems. UV light by itself, first of all, you all know you can't look at UV light, so it has to be shielded UV light.
Right, right.
And it's passive and it's slow. Some people have UV light in their current air conditioning system, yeah. Central air. The air passes through so fast, it doesn't produce any ions. The UV light will kill a lot of things.
Right, right, right.
But the ion producing systems produce the ions that then kill basically everything. It's not harmful. Oh, and they use them on, it was explained to everybody. They use them on the space station. They use them in the shuttle. It's currently in use on the current space station. And it's safe. No side effects or anything known to man. The REMI system is an approved product by the FDA. And I just don't know if we're in the mindset to spend $6,000 or $7,000 to add this to our current AC system for the rec hall.
Is it just for the rec hall, or is it for additional?
Well, you can buy one and put it in your house. Right,
right, right, right.
If you want. The one that they were offering us, I don't recall the name off the top of my head, that we got the demonstration on, installed, six of them was going to be $6,000. With the Freedom Air, they need five because they have a more powerful one. Plus, it's LED, so it lasts longer. And the entire cell gets replaced. I could provide a link. I don't know. Is our website capable of posting a link? Or maybe I could post it out there, so residents and all the board members could view.
You said you had two proposals?
Two proposals.
Oh, okay.
I actually have three from Freedom Air for three different ones. Two REMIs. One's LED, one isn't. Their other one is called Halo, I think. And then a competitor's. And then we had the Sandy Environmental's proposal. Which I've got that. I haven't distributed it, but I have it. They proposed four, and now they realize we need six. So it's just over $6,000.
Okay.
And Freedom Air is for five of them, one for each system. And it's between $6,000 and $7,000. I don't want to say the number because I want to pull out the quote.
I want to say that it sounds reminiscent. When I was in New York, Carrier had something that you're describing, although they use a UV system. Now, they might have exactly what you're describing. It wasn't obviously here for the demonstration.
If it's an ion-producing system, then it would be very similar. If it's just UV light, no.
All right. I can give you a hand and see if I can call Carrier up. I see if they provide something like that. I mean, they're a national.
What we need is someone, a distributor that can install it for us.
Right. Well, that's what they would do. A Carrier would get a sub and might provide that.
Y'all might remember, those of you who were in that special meeting. No, it was a regular meeting in the evening on March 14th. we have to buy the new bulb every year through Sandy Environmental, or the manufacturer, actually. I think it was 125 per year. Now we're talking six of them. So you do the math, but on how much a year it is. The Remy system that Freedom Air sells, you replace the bulb once every 5 years, but you replace the entire cell. It's $450 to replace the entire cell, including the bulb. And once a year, you can clean a, like a baffle, plastic type baffle. You can clean it with Dawn dishwashing soap or something, because a little bit of dust might get on it, you know? Right. So it's a little less expensive maintenance wise to go with a Remy LED system. R-E-M-E is how it's spelled. I mean, tomorrow or something, Miguel, I'll give you the links for the Sani recommended system and a Remy Halo and LED. I mean, me, I would go with the Remy LED system. It's in the, it's about $6,500 for five of them for this clubhouse. It's just, you know, I don't know how people feel about spending that kind of money. And it's more like right now we're actually in a little bit of a wave, as you might know. And, you know, but people aren't dying like they were, you know, a year or two ago.
Mr. Curtis had a question.
Go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to throw something out with Gary. We got a lot of people coming back from up north. And up north right now is loaded with this new variant of COVID. I don't want it personally, but I think we this is something that we really should look at and act on soon. I hate to say this, but there's been a couple of cases here in the park recently.
We should then it should be put on the agenda.
Absolutely.
Let me make copies before the next meeting of the three proposals from Freedom Air, the one from Sandy Environmental. I can keep trying, but I think they kind of know. We already have our minds made up. I'd just be looking for a third price that we're going to ignore, probably. I don't think anybody's going to give us a better impression that we want to do business. I would like to do business with Sandy Environmental, except the Remy system's better through Freedom Air, who just did RAC in the pool room, card room. So I, if it was my call, I'd just give the contract
mine
to Freedom. But that's not, it's over 5,000, supposed to have three bids.
So. I'll help you find a third one.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate your help with that, because so, I've just been stuck for a couple of months.
Yep. We'll place that on the next, next okay, meeting agenda, so if you can have those ready for us.
I'll get all the... I'll get copies made in the office of the proposals I have and the links so everybody on the board at least, or we could post it out there. Anybody wants to watch the videos made by the manufacturers of the two different systems, you can learn about it and how it works.
Yep. All right.
And we'll get one more price with the help of Miguel.
All right. Thank you very much. Joan?
I have two things. The first one is pretty quick. We sent a letter to Keith Richer about a month ago. I was wondering if he responded to that.
No, ma'am. He has not responded one iota. Mr. Richer's acquired an additional property in September of last year. According to our deed restrictions, he was not allowed to do that. I contacted the district park attorney, Mr. Bone. He agreed that the acquirement of that property was in violation of our deed restrictions. And I sent Mr. Richard a letter stating that he needed to dispose of the property. He has yet to respond to my letter. So I think I need to send a second follow-up letter and send it certified to him so that we know that he's received it, and find out what his intentions are for that property. We had been told that he was planning on disposing of it already, but he did not respond in any way.
And my other thing is, I want to get back to the pool for a minute. There's a lot of us that have, we call them water weights, And according to basically what you read, we're not allowed to use those. But we'd like to use them because they're good for exercise. Hmm. I mean, they're waterways. They give you resistance. So when you, you know, you can do all kinds of exercises with them. But no, we don't use them. They were going to originally, when they were introduced to the park, there was going to be a class on them. But apparently that never materialized. So a lot of people still have the water weights, but we never did have a class.
What is it, specific for a class, or was it just
They look like open dumbbells recreation. And they don't weigh anything. And they're.
But
probably,
it was specific originally for a class.
Right.
Okay.
I use mine in the open air.
Pam Hefferman, they were approved by the board a few years ago. Bev, who was here, she introduced us to them. She was going to run the class. And we came to the board then and wanted to know if, because the rule said only noodles, but the other board, and I don't remember what year it was before COVID, but they were approved.
Bev, do you remember when that might be? I can look that up.
2019. COVID hit in 2020.
It was either 2018 or 2019. I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll go look that up. And the other thing on the pool is I would like, I don't know if we have to make a motion to do it or not, but I would like to add to the rules where it says about the proper attire that it somehow mentions that you cover your bottom. However you want to word it.
Can we wear Speedos?
Well, when you're 18, a thong is respectable. But when you're 66, it's kind of not all that respectable.
It's kind of from my viewpoint, it's...
Well,
you know, I'll just say this. I
think it ought to be written somewhere.
I think the problem that we're having, ladies and gentlemen, is unfortunately we're in the summer months, and a lot of our grandchildren, nieces, and nephews are here visiting. Many of them are 18 to 25 years old. And they have beautiful, sexy bodies. And they're proud of them. I would be too. Okay? But there are those of us, unfortunately, who have reached our advanced ages. And whether you are male or female, we have a chronic case of dropsyitis. Everything up here has dropped down here. Okay? And what we find appropriate is not necessarily what they find appropriate. And so as older citizens, we are offended by what we see that we don't have. I received complaints not only from women, but I received complaints from men as well, who found the thongs. No, who found the thongs inappropriate. Who found that it's just not something that should be worn in a 55 plus community.
Oh, we do that.
What she is asking is that do we need to place it in our rules and regulations or our policies that when we say appropriate attire, we mean your bum and everything should be. So one pieces. I mean, I don't wear a one piece. I have to wear a two piece because I'm too tall for one. But I wear the long piece pink thingy, but maybe we need to put it in there that it should be a full covered bum or something. But I don't know. I mean, is it offended to the old women? And now I'm not criticizing men. Don't take it this way. Is it offensive to the old women when we see a big, fat, hairy bell belly hanging out?
Yes!
I mean, it's in a Espino. It's an issue. So I'm not. Come on, guys. This is not funny. This can be a serious issue. We've had some complaints, and we've had some people, unfortunately, who have approached these people and created scenes. And yeah. We don't want that to happen. And that's where I think we need to. She's asking, should we address this and address it in our rules and regs?
Those kinds of things are appropriate at the beach and other places. Fine, it's 55 over 5. But in the same breath,
no, that's actually reasonable. Seriously, I think that's what I was going to get at. You know, some of these I've seen. Well, no, but essentially, maybe it's best to have a one piece to really, really define it to avoid some of those things that can happen, those accidents, if you will.
One piece on it?
I don't think it has to say a one-piece bathing suit because, I mean, I wear a two-piece, but my bottom's covered.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It does take
Here's a question. Annette Regas, 409. This is private property. We own it. The beach is not. That's public. And you can wear whatever you care to in public. To a certain extent, you can't walk along the street in one of these thong bathing suits. But yes, it should be. If you insist upon a one piece, there's a lot of women that wear the boy shorts type shorts and the top. So, I mean, if they don't wear a one piece bathing suit, that's going to be considered inappropriate. Should just be modest to cover the chest area and the posterior area, just to make sure. And that's all. Just something, a bathing suit that covers the posterior and the chest area properly for it 55 plus community. Because if you start picking at what they're wearing, that can be discriminatory.
Nine weeks ago, as we all know, a letter was read. Along the way, Mark was voted on by the board to be our sole point of contact with our insurance company and any legal communication. And then about 6 weeks ago, perhaps, Mark informed us that because he asked and got an answer eventually from the insurance company, they agreed to pay for the attorney and a third party investigator. And that's the last I've heard of it. I know we can't talk about anything, but I'm just wondering, is there an actual third party investigator that's been hired, and are they working? I just don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a third party. It's covered. I had to send them a list of any board member in the time frame that was discussed, right. And that's where it stayed. I don't think they got it the first time. We sent it a second time, and we also copied the park attorney on it, and I haven't heard anything since.
Do you happen to know, or are you allowed to mention whether or not, on behalf of the park, the insurance company attorney communicated back to the other attorney? Beth Koch? I just don't know. And
I have no idea.
No idea. Well, would you just let us know if anything developed or if it gets dropped or whatever?
Something happens and I can talk about it, I will let you know.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Tony, 127 Holiday. Why can't we just say no thongs or Speedos?
Thongs or Speedos?
There's probably because there's different types of thongs. I mean,
no, you can say no thongs where your butt hangs out. I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, please, let's keep the decorum. So, how do you want to word this? Do you want to make a motion? that we put something in our rules and regs where it says there can be no
exposed bottoms.
No exposed bottoms or tops.
Bongs, I guess.
Hey, that's a good one. No TNA.
How about no B&B? No breasts or buns. I make it a point when I come out to say hi to everybody that's exercising.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can word it as, in our new rule, all swimwear must be appropriate for 55-plus community. All swimwear must be appropriate for a 55-plus community. And just leave it at that. And hopefully they'll understand that meaning, and the issue can be protected both for the residents as well as the people that are in the pool. Please remember, though, if you see it, don't approach the person and be hateful about it.
Take a picture.
Excuse me, could I take your picture?
excuse me. Please do not take a photograph. If there is an issue where it is extremely inappropriate, please contact, if the district manager is here, contact him so that he may address it.
I don't need the pictures when I have cameras.
There you go.
Okay. Laughing and having a good time is great, but this is a serious issue, and I'm trying to be respectful to the people that may come in here inappropriately, but as to the rest, quit showing your boobs, quit showing your butts.
How about the lady that comes out here with the bathing suit bottom that's way too big for her?
Well, now that's indecent exposure, so I don't know.
So anyway, I don't know how to address that one either. I think I'd probably vomit, but that's okay. I need to get back to the topic, and I think there's a question here, and then we'll need to see if we can move forward.
Bruce Crabb, 442 Neighborly Court. If you're going to do something, put it on the signage out there. Don't do it as a rule and regulation, because then we got to put it in the About Us book, and we got to change everything already. We just did it.
Well, the problem that we have with the signage out there, we just bought new signage out there.
Well, but the thing of it is, people ain't going to read it anyways. They're not going to read it, and they're not going to look in the About Us book. It's called common sense. And we don't have any common sense anymore. So I don't know what the answer is.
Carol, maybe we can just make a sign that says, "For put it on the gate or someplace out there.
All right.
Put it right on the front of the gate, along with the key fob.
Okay, we'll get some new signage out there then. We'll work on that. We will work on the verbiage and make sure that it's posted so that the offensive swimwear will not be permitted, and hopefully everyone will be pleased.
Barbara Dufault, 270 Burrell. Is this just one person that we're talking about? Because
no.
I've seen the person.
No.
More than one?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, because I was going to say, are we going through all this because of this one person?
No. Oh, no. There's several. There's several.
Carolyn, who's supposed to patrol the pool?
At this point in time, she asked a quick question, and I'm going to try to respond to it. She said, who patrols the pool? We do not have a pool guard. We do not have a pool Gestapo. We do not have a pool monitor. We are all on our own when we're in the pool. Now, the one thing I want to stress is our pool is not manned. There is no lifeguard on duty at any given time. When you use the pool, you use it at your own risk. The concerns that I've had, and the reason I address this issue is because we've had circumstances where a child fell, got hurt. People weren't here to take care of it. The resident wasn't here to make sure that the guest was not injured. These are issues that have all accumulated for a long time and have not really been addressed. We're wanting to make certain that whomever uses the pool, especially our residents, are safe and protected. If you bring a guest in, you're responsible for that guest. If that guest gets injured, if that guest drowns, that's on you. You have to think twice about that. Okay, think twice about how we're doing it. I have no problem with your grandchildren coming. I have no problem with Joe Blow coming down the street as long as Joe Blow's here under your supervision and you know that they're here. But what we're having is if we had an instance, and I'm going to use this as an example, and I'm going to try to keep it short, where we had some young ladies in the pool. These young ladies were all four inappropriately dressed. When I approached them, they informed me that they were 18 years old and they were adults. I accepted that, okay? Then I found out later that they were here as a guest, but the resident wasn't even in the park at the time that they were here. The resident was out of the park on vacation someplace.
They called himself.
So the granddaughter was here, but the granddaughter brought in her guest, and they brought in a guest, and then they brought in a guest. So how do we control that? That's one of the things that Miguel was looking into and trying to control with the key fob concept. We're wanting to make certain that when we have people here, that we know who's here and why they're here and who they're here under, so that if something does happen, we have a better control factor of protecting those people as well as our residents. So that's the whole thing in a nutshell. We don't have anybody that monitors the pool. When there's an issue that something comes up, a lot of people will come to him or to the office, or they will go to our custodial staff that's here on duty. If a custodian comes up to you and says, I'm sorry, you're smoking a cigarette or you're vaping out here, it's not permitted, they're doing their job. They're not trying to be horses patoots. They're here for your safety, and you need to remember that and not scream and yell at them. That's why I addressed that earlier. They're here for you. They're not the lifeguard, but they're here if you need them in case of an emergency. So please work with us on those, and we'll hope that we'll get this figured out. But there's no pool guard or no anybody that walks that and makes sure that it's a safe issue. And on that, I have to apologize to those people that were in class this morning. I did come out this morning and there was a bicycle inside the swimming area. And I questioned the ladies in the pool as to whose bicycle it was. And I asked the lady if she would mind stepping out of the pool and removing her bicycle. I didn't think I was inappropriate in asking that because that is against our rules. And the bicycle itself was a safety issue inside the pool gate area. But I apparently offended some of the ladies that were in the pool by asking the lady to step out. And it wasn't intentional to offend anyone. So if I did, I want to apologize for those that were in the pool at that time. So anyway.
No apology.
Is there any? You have one? Annette, I saw your arm up. If you want to make a quick comment, please. Microphone.
I just want to say that I think that also about the sign for higher, also post sign. Yeah.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
No, we have another comment. We have one more comment, please.
Oh. Diane Bell, 293 Burrell Circle.
No, I just wanted to mention that my husband donated a computer to be used in the library for public use. So it's got his number on it. If you have a problem with it, don't bother the office staff. Give him a call. And as long as it lasts, it's old and it's slow, but it works.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
There has been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Sergeant.
All right, it's been motioned and seconded that we adjourn. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming and for enjoying the evening with us.
We voting.
We don't need to vote. All those in favor, yay.
Five, yay.
That's when the adventures really begin.
That is my public impression.
They still don't inform the clients of dollars.